Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe, all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Tuesday, September 21st. Trading camp gets going tomorrow. It's going to be amazing and a little bit crazy and all that fun stuff. But I am your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260. Hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. On the pod today, we'll be joined by Tyler Matarazz out of Toronto from SiriusXM NHL. We'll talk some Oilers and look at the other Canadian teams as training camps is set to kick off tomorrow here in Edmonton. He always brings the good stuff, so we'll get a good outsider's look on what he thinks, how Kenny Holland did this summer. Yesterday, after I released the pod, this news came out, which was a little bit unfortunate, but I'll give it to you today. Of course, the Joey Moss dressing room tribute and recognition of contributors to the club dating back to the 1980s and the mark left on the organization and community by late Joey Moss. A unique dressing room tribute will be unveiled by current Oilers on September 28th. Kevin Lowe is getting his number raised to the Raptors. That will happen on Friday, November 5th with the New York Rangers in town. So that means a new number for Chris Russell. Kevin Lowe, well-deserved. I know he took a lot of heat for the way this team was ran and Decade of Darkness and all that, but good to see him. He was a good player. He won 6 cups and was a big part of the 80s Oilers. So Kevin Lowe's number 4 to the rafters of Rogers Place on November 5th against the New York Rangers. This is cool. Recognition of Edmonton Oilers greats, a new and exciting area for fans to celebrate Edmonton Oilers of distinction, and is also in the early planning stages with more details to be announced later this season. We had fun with it on the Dave Jamieson show today with Matthew Wanick. Who would you put in there? I mean, names that come to mind right away: Doug Waite, Ryan Smith, Esa Tikkanen, Charlie Huddy, Alex Hemsky for me. And we had some good debate. Does Chris Pronger make the cut? He had one good year. How about a Billy Guerin? How about a Tommy Salo? Todd Marchand? I think Kelly Buchberger definitely in there. How about George LaRocque? How about Ethan Morrow? There's so many fascinating names, and I think it's a good debate to have, but it's going to be it's a cool idea, and I can't wait to see it and see who gets in. So I think the front runner is obviously Smitty, Wade, taking in for me. Let me know yours. Hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan. Let me know who would you want to see in the recognition of Edmonton Oilers greats. And also, I'll add Media Wall of Honor. The club is also pleased to be adding more names to its Media Wall of Honor later this season. So that's your Edmonton Oilers news. Also, Tom Gazzola joined the lowdown today, and he brought up a good point that Josh Archibald hasn't been skating at the captain's skate with the rest of his teammates. We don't know what the situation is there. We don't know if it's vaccine related. We have none of that information, so we don't want to speculate. But the Colton Seaver PTO is an interesting one. Is he like an emergency just in case something doesn't go right with Josh Archibald? I guess we'll find out tomorrow if he's at camp. If he's at camp, then what I'm saying is irrelevant. So we'll wait and see. But I do find it interesting that he's, according to reports, he is in town, but he hasn't been skating with his team. So we'll continue to track that. We should get a roster, training camp roster, either later today or early tomorrow. So we'll definitely track that as well. Some NHL news from today. The Blue Jackets' Zach Rinaldo will not be allowed at training camp due to his unvaccinated status. Seen a lot more teams do this. Flyers, Hayes and Morin both out 6 to 8 weeks with injuries. That is enormous loss for the Philadelphia Flyers, especially for Hayes, who had a really good season last season. Both out 6 to 8 weeks. Couple of PTOs. Alex Galchenyuk's going to the Arizona Coyotes on a professional tryout. And the Red Wings are bringing in Bobby Ryan, who played with them last year, was injured for a big part of that. He's going there on a PTO as well. And then Pedersen, Hughes, hopefully they can Vancouver's hoping they can rejoin the team soon. Still waiting for some news out of there, but that's two big names for the Vancouver Canucks. And just if you're scrolling through different sports sites and all that, everybody's got, you know, training camp questions for every of the Canadian teams. It's fun stuff. I can't believe hockey's here. It's absolutely crazy. This summer flew by, but I'm excited to see the Edmonton Oilers in action once again. And they kick off training camp tomorrow, and then their preseason schedule kicks off on Sunday in Calgary. And then the next week they'll play Tuesday at home to the Kraken. Then they're on the road on Wednesday, take on the Winnipeg Jets. Friday they're in Seattle, and then Friday they're in Seattle, and then Saturday they're back home to take on the Winnipeg Jets. So a busy schedule. You're going to see a lot of players playing these games because it's condensed, but it's a lot of games. Like 8 games just seems like too much for me. I'd prefer 4 or 5 preseason games, but it is what it is. Some extra hockey, and we'll get to look at some of the new guys and the young players. All right, guys. So yeah, let's have some fun. Maybe, I don't know, maybe later this week. We'll see, because it is training camp, so it is going to be busy. We are going to have a lot of audio from the players. But I want to hear about this. Who would you want in this, like we discussed on TSN 1260 today, the good old recognition of Edmonton Oilers greats. Who would you want to see in there? Let me know. Let's have some fun with it and give me a reason why. Like, if I'm not on board for Ethan Morrow, but my colleague and friend Matthew Wanick was, and then I compare him to Kelly Buchberger, I definitely have Kelly Buchberger there. So give me a reason why you'd want that player in there. And then we were talking about the best moments in Oilers history, and that's different, right? So you'd have Sam Gagner's 8-point night. I know people brought up Cogliano's 3 straight overtime winners. So stuff like that. So let's have some fun. Let me know. And then if I get some good ones at the good old inbox on Twitter or the DM, sorry, I'll read them all for you. But coming up next, it is Tyler Mataraz from SiriusXM NHL. We'll go around the Canadian teams and check in and see how everyone did in the offseason. This is the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked in there. How did you hear about us, Bob? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Today I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. And welcome in Tyler Mataraz from SiriusXM NHL here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. We haven't chatted in a while. Tyler, how you been?
I've been great. Thanks as always for having me. Hope the summer treated you well, and you're ready to go for the 21-22 season.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'll say this about our summer here in Edmonton. Like, we had the best weather probably I've seen. I'm born and raised here, like, in my life, like plus 30 a lot. So it was a great summer. But like you said, it's going to be a busy season. Back to a regular schedule. Knock on wood. Hopefully everything works out. But let's get to it. I mean, a lot of action by the Canadian teams. And let's start here in Edmonton. Tyler, I guess I'm always intrigued by media outside of Edmonton and what they think of what Ken Holland did this summer. At least for me, I think they did some good things. They overpaid a lot, overtermed, but that comes with free agency. I have a few areas of concerns when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, but overall, what did you make of Ken Holland's summer?
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all. I think I've said to you a lot, I still think Ken Holland should have probably done something goaltending-wise. Maybe he brings in a third goaltender before camp to maybe give some competition to Koskinen and Smith. I think that's the one red flag for me, as I've said before with you. But I haven't minded some of the moves. Like, I really like the Warren Fogle move. I think some Oilers fans are probably kind of disappointed to see Ethan Bear head the other way to Carolina, but Warren Fogle is a player who I've really liked in his time in Carolina. Colin McLovin on our show, obviously,
yeah.
Super bad reference, so hopefully some Oilers fans start going with McLovin for Warren Fogle, but I like that move because, as we know, the Oilers have needed some depth up front for the last couple of years behind the big boys, and the Zach Hyman thing, probably an overpayment for a player who does what Zach Hyman does. But hey, if you can put him on the top line or even the second line, and he can produce kind of like he did with Austin Matthews at times in Toronto, it's not a bad signing at all. I think maybe a couple of years down the road, the $5.5 million per season might be a bit too much for a guy like Zach Hyman, but that's what the open market really pays these kind of players right now. And on D, the Duncan Keith thing, the Cody Ceci thing, I think those will kind of just be what we think they are, like kind of just depth moves. We'll see what Duncan Keith can still bring at his age, and we'll see if Cody Ceci can do what he did in Pittsburgh last year, where he was actually quite decent, surprisingly. He wasn't great in Toronto the year before that, so we'll see how the D-core shakes out there with a couple moves here and there from Ken Holland, but I'm pretty optimistic about this Oilers roster.
You're a guy that's out there in Toronto. You saw Zach Hyman a lot, a 29-year-old, career high, I think 41 points. He's a guy that's played with elite players, obviously, with Austin Matthews and the crew there in Toronto. What can Oilers fans expect?
Yeah, I think a lot of Toronto Maple Leafs fans out really liked Zach Hyman. They didn't really know anything about him when he was traded from the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs, literally for nothing. And all of a sudden, he's playing with a guy like Austin Matthews when, at first, I think Leaf fans really thought he was like that third or fourth line left winger.
Yeah.
But he proved that he was just a guy that's hungry on pucks. He's hungrier than other players when he goes into puck battles. And I think Oilers fans will really appreciate that because he can win a lot of puck battles and get some pucks to Connor McDavid, if that is one of his line mates. So I think Oilers fans will take a liking to him quite early. We'll see how he does in the preseason and then early on in the year with the Edmonton Oilers. But he's a really gritty player. In the playoffs, he hasn't really been able to show much because the Leafs haven't really been able to go far. But regular season play-wise, a really, really effective player for what he does. But I think the thing with the contract, too, is a player that plays like he does at 29 years old, near the end of those contracts, we'll see how his body holds out. But for the time being, for the first couple of years of it, I think Hyman can do really well on one of the top two lines.
You said you really liked the Warren Fogle one. Ethan Bear was, his first year, he was really good here. Many had him as their best Oilers defenseman that season before the COVID stoppage. And then last year, reports that he didn't come in the best shape. He had the concussion injuries. He had the little blip on in the playoff game that cost him a goal. But overall, I think Ethan Bear is a quality defenseman, and I think Carolina is going to get an absolute stud here. I do like what Warren Fogle brings to the table. You have to pick a winner, Tyler. Like, is this kind of just an even trade, or do you see it leaning one way or the other?
To be honest, I think I might give it to Carolina. As you said, that one year, Ethan Bear was arguably their best defenseman. Like, how good was Ethan Bear in his own zone, in the offensive zone as well? So maybe I give the slight edge to the Carolina Hurricanes. But as I said, Warren Fogle is a good hockey player. Like, he's been a good hockey player ever since he's come into the NHL, where I don't even think Carolina Hurricanes fans really knew much about him. But a guy from in and around these parts as well, very close to Toronto, who grew up playing in the Toronto area and in the Ontario Hockey League. So we knew quite a bit about him. But I think Oilers fans can get excited about kind of like a poor man Zach Hyman, who can maybe put the puck in the back of the net a little more. So a younger player, a bigger player as well, and a guy that maybe if you can slide him in on a line with Zach Cassian in the bottom six somewhere, a line that can really cause some issues for a lot of teams in the Oilers division. So Fogle's a guy that can score, make some hits, get on in the forecheck, and I think, like Hyman, a lot of Oilers fans will take a liking to him early on.
Is your biggest concern for the Edmonton Oilers in net, or is it their defense?
I really think it's in net. We've talked about a couple of their signings on D, Keith, CeCe. I'm really hoping Evan Bouchard gets a shot in the top six all season, but yeah, I like Mike Smith. To me, at 39 years old, Hernan, he's a perfect backup. Like, when he came off the injured reserve last year, he was unbelievable. He had a couple shutouts, I think, if I can remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of tapered off and was kind of his old self, which it's very tough to play goaltender at that age, as we know. But Mike Smith still has it in some games. But, man, I'd really want him as a backup if I was a general manager or a coach or a fan of this team specifically. So don't know what they're going to do in the long run, because if they run with Smith and Koskinen, let's just say in the first month or two of the season, and it's not really working out and they're allowing 4 to 6 goals a game, and McDavid and Draisaitl are having to put up crazy numbers, I just don't think that's really going to work out in the long run this season for Edmonton heading into the playoffs, because they'll be a playoff team without a doubt. But when it comes to the crunch time, you don't want 97 and 29 having to score 6 points a game and having to rely on that pretty much throughout the year and into the playoffs. So that's my biggest concern for sure. But as we know, trade markets for goalies are never really the easiest thing. So we'll see what happens at the end of training camp. Maybe if Alex Stalock can make a push for the backup spot.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the big one here, Alex Stalock, see what he can do. Tyler, where do you see the Oilers? Everybody keeps saying they're in the weak division, there is truth to that. I mean, the teams you look at, they're all non-playoff teams, but there's always one surprise. And do you have the Oilers just penciled in there in the second spot behind Vegas? Like, where do you see them here?
Yeah, in the Pacific Division, they should come in second. If the Vegas Golden Knights do not win that division, color me shocked. We can maybe go back to this
yeah.
because I would be very shocked if Vegas didn't do it. Obviously, they did lose Marc-Andre Fleury, but at the end of the day, the Pacific Division is theirs for the taking. But yeah, I think Edmonton, barring crazy injuries up front, should come in second. I honestly don't really know where to place a team like the Calgary Flames. I don't really know where to place a team like the Seattle Kraken, maybe until we see a week or two worth of games and to see if Philip Grubauer can find his game there with the Kraken. But for me, it should be Knights and Oilers top two. Maybe if they can somehow get goaltending from Smith, the Oilers can push the Vegas Golden Knights for the top spot. But at the end of the day, the Oilers are at least the top three team in that division, with the California teams being pretty weak right now.
Tyler Matarazz from SiriusXM NHL joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Yesterday they announced the Joey Moss dressing room tribute, Kevin Lowe banner raising celebration, retire his number 4 on November 5th. And then the recognition of Edmonton Oilers greats, a new and exciting area for fans to celebrate Edmonton Oilers of distinction, is also in the early planning stages with more details to be announced later in the season. If I had to ask you, and I know you're not an Oilers guy, but who would you put in that in that room, I guess? Who's the first Oilers that comes to mind that's not up in the rafter?
Yeah, I think that's a really tough one, but... so many Oilers greats. Obviously, a lot of them are up there right now. But I think, like, is Ryan Smith up there?
No. Nope.
That's just the first guy that comes to my
yeah.
mind. For me, growing up playing hockey, I wore 94 for two reasons, two players. One was Ryan Smith. One was Sergei Bereznin, who played in Toronto.
Yeah.
But Ryan Smith, the first name that comes to my mind, that is not up there for the Oilers. And obviously the Kevin Lowe jersey retirement has just been a long time coming for me. And I think Chris Russell is going to have to change his number now,
yeah.
if I'm not mistaken. but for me, going up there has to be number 94 for Ryan Smith. Like, this guy was a legend, obviously bounced around at the end of his career. It's still weird to kind of look at Ryan Smith's hockey DB or elite prospects, whatever you use, and see him playing for other teams. And it was good that he got to finish his career with the Oilers, but still weird to me that he wore other jerseys other than the Oilers jersey.
Yeah, I know. We had some fun with it today on 1260 and a lot of names and just like, what's the criteria going to be, I think, is the big one here. But yeah, like, Ryan Smith was leading, Dougie Waite, Esa Tikkanen for sure. Just guys like that
yeah, nice.
were Oilers greats at one point in their careers. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. So moving on, look, you're staying out west, Tyler. I've had a few guests out of market guests, and I've asked them the same question. So I'm going to ask you, who's better, Calgary or Vancouver?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Off the top of my head, I'd probably have to say Vancouver. Obviously, in the bubble, they kind of overachieved, didn't they? Like, they
yeah.
were kind of playing at the top of their game at that point, and they had a lot of good hockey players. But for me, I think Jim Benning's done a great job over the last couple of years, even this summer. Like, you bring in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, you bring in Connor Garland from the desert, two really good hockey players. I think Ekman-Larsson needed a change of scenery, and to possibly play on the second pairing behind Quinn Hughes, who will play on the left side on the top pairing. I think he really shored up the defense core there. And once they get Hughes and Pettersson locked in, which hopefully is soon for Canucks fans, I think they're looking pretty solid in that division. And with Calgary, my hopes aren't too high. Like, all of the grit that they're bringing in, as you know, is obviously the Sutter style of hockey, which I don't mind. Is it going to be the way to go right now in the National Hockey League? Maybe not, but like paying Blake Coleman all that money, I don't know if that's going to work out. He's getting almost $5 million a season. They're bringing in some grittier guys too. I think they signed Brad Richardson as well, who's probably going to be a fourth line guy. They brought in some size with Zadorov and Gudbranson. But at the end of the day, if I'm picking, I think Vancouver is going to be at least a few points higher in the standings than a team like Calgary.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Vancouver's better. And just looking at Calgary's defense, like there's no true number one, really. I don't know if they even have a number two right now. Markstrom's going to have to bounce back after a so-so season last season in the shortened Canadian division. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Vancouver, they can get their two big guys signed. They did some pretty good things in the offseason. So we'll wait and see. But it's going to be definitely interesting. Out there where you're at, I mean, Ottawa, I think I've seen a lot of mock lineups on Twitter from Ottawa media. I mean, they are what they are. I think they're still in that rebuild mode and they'll see some tough times again. But for me, Montreal is interesting and so is Toronto. What did you make of both teams' off seasons, which were very interesting, losing Kotkaniemi? Toronto obviously added as well, changing their one of their goaltenders. What can you say about the Leafs and the Habs here in the offseason?
Yeah, I'll start with the Montreal Canadiens, who kind of like the Canucks in the bubble, overachieved last year, obviously getting to the Stanley Cup final on the backs of a lot of players, one mainly being Carey Price. But they've got worse, but I think Montreal Canadiens fans can be excited about a couple things. One being Cole Caulfield could be a 30-goal scorer this year and really his true rookie season. I think Trevor Zegras tweeted out the other day that he thinks he could score 40, so that'd be quite fun if we saw Cole Caulfield score 40 goals. And obviously Jonathan Drouin coming back, big news today, big news yesterday with the sit-down he did with the Renaud Lavoie. Mm-hmm. I think Jonathan Drouin's going to play really well, especially if he plays with Suzuki and Caulfield. So for the Montreal Canadiens in that tough Atlantic division, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I'd be shocked this year if they did, which would be obviously a big step back from the Stanley Cup final. But there's a lot to get excited about still if you're a Canadiens fan. And then with the Toronto Maple Leafs, to me, they've really done nothing to improve themselves. They lost Freddie Anderson. They brought in Peter Mrazek. That pretty much, for me, is a lateral move. So we'll see how the goaltending shakes out. They just got to stay healthy in between the pipes if they want to compete in the Atlantic Division. And up front, Kyle Dubas really just had a lot of depth moves. Like, he brought in David Kampf from the Chicago Blackhawks, who's pretty much locked in to be their fourth-line center. They brought in Michael Bunting, who I love down in the desert in Arizona. So he comes home to his hometown team in the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Nick Ritchie's a big player that can play in their top six, but can he keep up with a lot of the faster, younger players on this Toronto Maple Leafs roster? So they'll be a playoff team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, but once again, it's one of those situations where I just can't see them making it out of the first round. Maybe if they do, they'll probably get bounced in the second round, just because I just don't think they, behind their big boys, really have the guns to get past a lot of those big teams in their division.
How concerned are you with Brady Tkachuk in the sense, what's going on there with the contract situation?
I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I think a lot of Ottawa Senators fans are, but as you know, Hernan, a lot of big-name RFAs at this point in the offseason, with training camp right around the corner, with it pretty much starting tomorrow and Thursday, they all end up signing. So I think at the end of the day, Brady Tkachuk will end up signing. Will it be like that 8-year times $8 million deal that has been rumored to be out there? Maybe not. Maybe at the end of the day, he ends up taking a shorter-term deal and kind of reevaluating his options when it ends. But for me, if I'm the Ottawa Senators, I'm offering him an 8-year deal. I don't care what the AAV is, as long as it's not over $9 million. And I'm putting the C on his jersey. Brady Tkachuk, since he was drafted, was pretty much the perfect captain for this Ottawa Senators team. Ever since Alfredson left, ever since Carlson left, Brady Tkachuk, for me, has been the guy. So not concerned at all. I think the deal does get done fairly soon, but we know a lot of fan bases out there get pretty antsy when their big-name RFAs aren't signed yet. But if I'm a Sens fan, I wouldn't be too worried. I think the deal does get done fairly soon.
Yeah, and the team in the middle, the Winnipeg Jets, I like what they did bringing in Brendan Dillon, Nate Schmidt. I think they really shored up their D-core up front. They remain the same. They'll get the second year out of Pierre-Luc Dubois, who looks for a bounce-back season. This team, for me, is one that I'm expecting to take that next step. Not so much in the regular season. I think they'll be there. But in the playoffs, I can see this team going far.
Yeah, I always have high hopes for the Winnipeg Jets. I think it was 2 years ago, possibly in that bubble year, I think I had them winning the Stanley Cup. Obviously, that didn't happen. And then last year, the Mark Scheifele suspension against the Montreal Canadiens really set them back, and they were ousted at the hands of the Habs. But going into this year, like you, I do have high hopes for the Winnipeg Jets. You mentioned the two additions on the blue line, which I love as well, like bringing in Nate Schmidt, bringing in Brendan Dillon, two players that kind of are polar opposites. Brendan Dillon just plays a defensive game. He hits everything that moves. He blocks a lot of shots, and Nate Schmidt's a guy that can really skate up the ice, move the play up, and distribute the puck very well. So Kevin Cheveldayoff, in that sense, did a really good job because he's trying to build that back end out like he has been for the last few years. And up front, as you said, pretty much the same. We get to see another year of Pierre-Luc Dubois with another number, as well as he changed his jersey number to number 80 because of Matisse Kivlenitz, which I thought was a really nice thing. And can Kyle Connor do what he did again last year and the year before? Like, he's been a very good goal scorer, but can he continue at that pace? Because a lot of the offense does run through Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele, and you're relying on those two to put up a lot of points. So we'll see how they do. I think, like a lot of other teams, maybe like a Toronto, like we just talked about, it's the bottom six and the depth scoring that I'm worried about, and that could be the downfall for the Winnipeg Jets.
One last one here regarding the Edmonton Oilers. We were talking about it yesterday on the show and on the podcast. Yamamoto obviously signed a one-year deal. Both him and Jesse Puljujärvi will be up for a new contract next season. Both guys, you know, similar in age, similar point totals, whatever it is. And the Oilers don't have a lot of money going into next season. And you don't want to bet against these guys. I know everyone here wants both guys to do well this season. They're going to have a great opportunity as one plays with McDavid, one plays with Draisaitl. But if you had to pick, let's just say both guys have, you know, similar seasons, they're both good, they put up some numbers, who would you keep?
Yeah, putting on my GM hat, I think the first name that comes to mind is Jesse Puljujärvi, okay. Not just because he was drafted higher, but it just looks like he has everything that a really high-end top six hockey player needs. Like, he's got the size, he's got the skill, he's got the hands, that's for sure. But can he put it all together at the NHL level? When players are drafted, I think, what was he drafted, third or fourth, whatever it was, in the top five for sure. You expect a lot out of these players. Alex Galchenyuk's a guy that comes to mind that had to take a professional tryout today from the Arizona Coyotes, which is pretty crazy to me. But if Jesse Puljujärvi can put everything together, and you hope that a couple months or whatever it was that he played in Europe has helped his game out in the National Hockey League, I think he's the player that you would want to end up keeping if your hands were tied and you couldn't end up keeping both. But for the Oilers, they hope they can keep both.
Yeah.
Both for first-round picks. But for me, it's Jesse Puljujärvi. I want to see another good year out of him. I want to see him possibly playing on the top line with Connor McDavid and see what production he can have and what numbers he could put up and try to get a big payday next summer.
No, for sure. It's going to be fun, and we get going tomorrow here in Edmonton. Training camp kicks off. Should be a fun ride here, Tyler. The season is upon us. 82 games, 8 preseason games, which is just crazy. I wish they would only do 4 or 5, but whatever. It's extra hockey. Tyler, like always, enjoy the season. I'll probably have you on sometime once we get going here for real. And like always, thank you for your time.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me on once again. And yeah, enjoy those 8 preseason games. yeah, it's a bit much, but ready for October 12th, ready for the regular season to start.
Big shout out to Tyler Mataraz from SiriusXM NHLs. We talked Oilers. We went around and checked in on all the other Canadian teams as training camp is upon us. It's the eve of training camp. It's going to be fun. The Oilers kick off their preseason on Sunday, the 26th, and then they get, I think they're back Tuesday here against the Kraken the following, and then Wednesday they're on the road in Winnipeg. So things are going to start coming fast and furious here as the NHL season is upon us. Big shout out to Tyler. He's always a great guest. Enjoy his takes, and he liked what the Oilers did, which is, I've talked to some outside media and seen some of it on Twitter, and a lot of people are not high on what they did, but he was, and obviously there's concerns with the goaltending and a little bit with the defense, but let's hope for the best here that the Oilers have a great season and can make a run in the playoffs. All right, guys, let's wrap this Tuesday edition up of the Locked On Oilers podcast. Remember to hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. Podcast doing really well. A lot of downloads. I really appreciate it. Let me know on Twitter, guys, what you want to hear, what you want me to do, if you want to guess. Give me ideas here. It's full gold time now for this podcast. For my producer, Juanito, I am Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful sunny Tuesday. We'll chat tomorrow.